Hey, this is Amanda. Welcome to Decoding Blackness. I'm your host. Decoding Blackness is a space for Black women to have conversations about how we define what it means to be Black and a woman. We embody divineness, occupy all the spaces, and are living audaciously. But through all of that, it takes self-care and inner work to keep being the divine woman that we are. So not only will we conversate on topics important to us and foster connection and community, each episode will have elements of self-care and wellness, such as affirmations, meditations, and wellness tips. I'm so thankful you're here. Let's hold space together and get started on decoding our Blackness. The other day, my daughter, who is a teenager, she came to me and my husband crying. She was crying because she had a conversation with a friend, and that friend stated that she thought it was okay for Black people to be desensitized to police killings. She thought that we've been through it enough and that we've seen it so much that that numbing essentially was perhaps a normal reaction that Black people might have. My daughter's crying and she says, "Mommy, Daddy, I don't want to be desensitized to the killings of Black and brown bodies. I don't want to feel that way. I don't like this." So as she's crying, I said to her, "You're not desensitized. You're showing the emotion right now. You're crying. You're feeling very, very deeply these sensations and these feelings." Then she started talking about at the age of 6 when she realized that Black and brown bodies were being killed and not treated with respect and dignity. That actually came when Michael Brown was killed. And she noticed that, and she stated all these years of seeing these traumas and the deaths of Black and brown men and women, she feels like she's desensitized. She feels like this happens so much, like what else is there to do, essentially? She felt this numbing, so to speak. But as I said to her, "You're not desensitized. You're feeling, you're crying, you're showing all these emotions right now. You're still feeling those feelings of the traumas, the vicarious traumas that we in this community, the Black and brown community, feel when these things happen." And my husband and I, I'll say this, we definitely have talked to our children very early on, just as many of you have, about the realities of, you know, the things that happen to Black and brown people, not only currently, but of course over, you know, generations, you know, starting from slavery and lynchings. We've always talked to our children about this because we operate in a world where this is a reality that we have to essentially be mindful of, unfortunately. But just like any other Black and brown parent, you know, we have these conversations with our children. So as my daughter is crying and, you know, expressing her feelings, my husband told her something really remarkable. He said, "Look at my hands. I have calluses. These calluses are my body's way of protecting me from the wear and tear of the work that I do, from inflicting further damage and further harm to my skin under these calluses. These calluses are protecting me." He said to her, "You are not desensitized. You are not numb. You still feel every bit of this. But in our community, we've had to develop some sort of callusing, something to protect us from the traumas and the emotions that come along with all the things that we notice or see that's happening to our community. Social justice, racism, killings of Black and brown bodies. These calluses were necessary. They were essentially naturally built. So it doesn't mean that we don't feel, because we still feel under those calluses. But that callus has protected me to a certain extent so that when further trauma or further situations or instances are inflicted because of the work, I have a level of protection that's grown, a level of protection that was innately created to protect me. And this was just so profound to me. This was just so profound, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. Now, I know this podcast, of course, is really geared toward Black and Brown women, but in this episode, we're just going to talk about, you know, issues that we experience in our community and how these traumas affect us and what we do to essentially keep going day by day. The most recent police shooting of Jacob Blake really just prompted, I think, my daughter, when she had that conversation, right? Because it was another killing and she had this conversation with a friend, and this is how everything kind of came about and led to this conversation. But I really think talking about this callousing that we've had to do, callousing that many of us have had to create to protect ourselves, is really important and critical, because our self-care, our ability to move forward is astounding and amazing. But it's difficult when we're still experiencing and seeing these things happening to members of our community, members of our family, to ourselves. So this episode will be about that. So this brings to mind for me transgenerational trauma, right? It brings to mind the generations and years of social justice issues and racism and discrimination that the Black community has experienced. We talk about slavery lasting over 300 years. And then even after that, of course, we didn't have freedom. There were still situations in place to prevent us from moving forward, preventing us from having equality and equity. Systems were in place to prevent that, and their systems in place, many of us will say, that still prevent that, right? It can still be very, very challenging for us to, you know, really achieve certain things. And that's evidenced by the fact that we're still having firsts in so many ways. We're still having first African-American this, a first Black person that, right? So it brings to mind transgenerational trauma. And the things that our ancestors, our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, all these people in our line of heritage had to endure, the traumas they had to endure. So essentially, that has to pass down through our DNA, right? And you can definitely do research on that, but there is research papers out there discussing how trauma is passed down through the DNA and passed down to us. And not only in a, you know, physiological way, but also with teachings and with how our parents have raised us, evidenced by the fact that many of us have to talk to our Black and Brown children about, you know, the traumas of, you know, police killings and ways to move in the world or to move in our community. Unfortunately, we have to have these conversations, but that's further essentially having us teach our children how to protect themselves in this world, right? How to protect themselves as we operate in this world as beautiful Black and Brown people. So because of those transgenerational traumas that have been passed down through us and those learned, behaviors or those teachings from our parents and their parents before them, you know, I do think, you know, we've had to evolve in so many different ways. And I say that word evolve because I'm thinking of evolution. I'm thinking of how so many animals and creatures essentially had to, you know, transform, or essentially their bodies created different, you know, body parts, or just evolved due to their environment, right? Due to a change in their environment, or due to, you know, predators perhaps that they needed to protect themselves from. So it really does bring to mind the fact that as Black people dealing with traumas for such a long time, that we've had to evolve, right? That, you know, we've had to, you know, make sure that we're always aware of what is going on in, you know, society, in our communities, things that could be, you know, harmful to us, right? Things like such as racism or discrimination and you know, all of these things that we're still dealing with today. So I think essentially that we did have to, you know, develop these calluses, right? Or the callusing of, you know, what we're experiencing and what we're viewing and what we're seeing and hearing just to protect ourselves, right? To protect ourselves. Because it doesn't mean that we're not feeling. We feel every single bit of this, every single bit of this. And the way you know is that when you think about, or, you know, bring your mind or bring your thoughts to, you know, any kind of situation that you've seen, whether it was in your community or on TV with the killing or just any kind of injustice issues or injustice things toward the Black and Brown community. How did you feel? Right? Did you feel anger? Did you feel sadness? Did you feel fear? Whatever it was, you felt something more than likely. So that tells you right there, you are not desensitized. You're not numb. We are not desensitized. We are not numb. We have to try to live every day finding the joys in life and loving and just being. So I do think that's why we've essentially tried to figure out a way to get through, right? For some people, that looks very different. For some people, that callus could be, you know, just maybe not watching a video of someone being hurt or, you know, taking social media off their phone or turning the TV off, you know, and breathing and just being present or just doing whatever they can to essentially lessen that experience or that feeling. They still feel it, but they've had to create something or do something so that they can just get through. Still enjoying life, still, you know, loving, you know, themselves and their families. And, you know, once again, like I said, just finding joy. So I think it's just really a natural reaction that we've developed, you know, due to transgenerational traumas and experiences and, you know, ways of being and ways that we, you know, essentially have to operate in the world. Now, I don't mean that to say that we're always, you know, in that mind frame of, well, I'm Black and I'm being treated a certain way. I mean, many of us, I think, have it in the back of our mind and just kind of, you know, are mindful of it. But, you know, once again, the beauty of our people is that we continue to move forward. Like, we literally don't let anything stop us. You know, when you think about slavery and, you know, enslaved people who ran away, who were able to reach freedom, or even if they didn't reach freedom, they always found a way to move forward, to get through and to not, you know, allow these injustices to continue. They always spoke up or did something to show that we're not having it, that they're not having it. And that's another thing that's passed down through our DNA, that resilience, that no, we're not having it, that no, you're not going to do this thing. You're going to treat us as humans and treat us as the equal beings that we are. And we've always done that. And that's the beauty of Black people. So even though we have some things passed down to us, but the strength, the fight, the resilience, the drive, all of those amazing things are passed down as well. And those things are so strong. Those things are so strong, and our people are so magnificent, so amazing. And, you know, we just always have to remember that, you know, that's within us. That is all within us to access and to continue to use over and over again. So this brings to mind, you know, the experiences of our community and the stress response that is, I think, happens on an individual level, of course, but also on a collective level, you know, because when we see these videos or hear about these stories or, you know, look into our history, it's something that's shared within our community. Well, for most of us, or, well, I hope, you know, but it is something that is a collective experience in our community. So that stress that comes from that feeling of, you know, the traumas that occurred in our community and the experiences that are still there. So once again, it's that fight, flight, or freeze response, right? In many moments, you know, depending on the situation, we might go into that freeze response, right? So when we're watching that video or hearing that story, we might be feel stuck. Might feel stuck in that moment, unsure of what to do and unsure of how to respond. And we might turn it off, right? We might flee from it, turn it off, doing what we feel is right for us. And sometimes we might fight back. And I don't necessarily mean fight as in physical, right? We're not condoning any, you know, physical violence, or unless you get physical and punching a, you know, a punching bag or something in that way, something healthy. But physical as in movement, moving your body. But that fight can definitely be different. It can look different. Fight can mean I'm sharing this article and giving my piece, right? Saying my feelings on this, and that gives you that feeling of empowerment. Fight could also mean, you know, I'm going to a protest, or I'm going to attend this march and I'm going to speak my piece, and I'm going to just show my support for my community and equal rights and justice, right? Fight can look so, so very different. It can look very, very different, and it's really up to all of us how we choose to respond. But when we are under stress, you know, one of these responses might come: fight, flight, or freeze. And it just depends on how you're feeling, and you can, of course, move in and out of each of these. But sometimes when you're in that freeze response, it might take a minute for your, you know, body and your mind to connect and bring you back to the moment and bring you back, you know, present. And you may choose to turn it off, or you may choose to, all right, I'm going to reshare this, or I'm going to call my family. I'm going to talk. I'm going to do something to fight this in some way, shape, or form. You know, and this brings to mind to me also the somatic experiencing. And I know I talked about this before, but it really is about the feelings in your body and what's going on in your body. So with somatic experiencing, it was created by Dr. Peter Levine. So he gives this really amazing story of how he had a woman he was working with the mind, body, soul things to help her relax. She was so stuck in her trauma that she experienced at some time in her youth, that when he was trying to work with her, that she got stuck in a moment. She got stuck in that past trauma, and she got stuck in that experience, and she came to him really, you know, somewhat, I don't want to say the word broken, but really suffering from those past experiences. So there was a moment where, you know, she froze. They were having a conversation, or he was working with her, and she froze in that moment. And he saw the fear in her eyes. He saw that, you know, she wasn't able to move. And something clicked in him, and he remembered something about a tiger, right? And he said to her, run. There's a tiger chasing you, run. And she started moving her legs to run. She started moving her body to run. And she came out of that experience just on a path to healing. And he talks about how she was able to be more susceptible to the healing process, and how she was able to move or heal from that trauma because she moved. She found movement in her body. Because before she felt stuck and frozen, but she found movement. So it really just speaks to the power that movement has and can have in our lives. And when I think of movement in the sense of, you know, our community and, you know, what's happening in our community, and, you know, people protesting still, killings, and of course shouting Black Lives Matter, it makes me literally think of a movement. It makes me think of the movements and the protests and the changes that people are calling for now. So even for our community, as, you know, we're sometimes, you know, stuck in the trauma, or still naturally, you know, dealing with the vicarious traumas that we might be experiencing, movement is critical. Movement is something we've always done. Movement is natural to us. It's so natural to us. We're always doing something to try to, you know, make things equitable and using our voices. So when it comes to the stress response that we might experience collectively or individually, I think movement is critical, absolutely critical. Feeling into ourselves and thinking, what's here for me right now? What am I feeling in this moment? And what can I do? I may feel stuck. I may feel like I can't do anything. But once you're out of that, and if you're able to move forward from that, finding out what your movement is. It doesn't have to be on a, you know, big scale of things or, you know, any huge thing, but it could be something as powerful as practicing some self-care. Something as powerful as, you know, going on a GoFundMe and showing your support or writing a letter or talking to family. That movement is whatever you need it to be. Whatever's going to help you move forward, whatever's going to help you, you know, get through, because we are not numb. We are not desensitized. We have developed and created some callousing so that we can get through, because we still feel it. We still feel those feelings and sensations, but we are able to get through just as much as, you know, like I said, those traumas have been passed down and that we're experiencing that resilience, that strength, that power, all of that has been passed down as well. And we access it often. We access it often. It is there for us. And that is the beautiful thing about our community. You know, we're still having first and we'll have seconds and thirds and fourths. We'll have it. We'll just continue to just have those moments. And we'll continue to just keep doing these beautiful, amazing things that our community does. So once again, you're not numb. You are not numb. We are not numb. We feel it deeply, but we have been able to create things and do things to help us get through, because our lives are worth it. Black lives matter. So as we go through, you know, these moments when we're, you know, just trying to push through and, you know, continue to fight and continue to just move forward, you know, maybe take a moment to think about those people that who've had to develop some callousing, and those people known and unknown who have been able to continue to fight and move forward. You know, it could be yourself. It could be parents, friends, grandparents, people in your community. It could be someone such as Angela Davis, James Baldwin, you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Alice Walker. You know, there's so many people, like I said, known and unknown, who had to be audacious, right? Who had the audacity that's required, you know, to move forward. The audacity that's required to make change, not only for, you know, themselves by using their voices, perhaps, but also for their community, for the Black community, you know, and just allow that to give you some strength, just knowing that it's in our blood, it's in our DNA, you know, to have strength and resilience, to have strength and resilience to make the changes needed in our community. Absolutely. So I definitely would love to hear from you about maybe what your callousing is, whether that's self-care or whether that's, you know, maybe you protest or maybe you write letters to your senator or community leader. What is your callousing for you? What have you done to, you know, show that you are able to, you know, make changes on a scale that is good for you, whether it's, like I said, on a personal level with self-care, or maybe you're reaching a little bit further out, or maybe you're doing both of those things. Self-care is definitely a very radical act and something that, you know, we all need to do and hopefully, you know, should do to continue to move forward. So let me know what it is that you do. You can email me at decodingblackness@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. So to end this episode, I wanted to lead you in a guided meditation about just feeling, a guided meditation to remind you that you do feel and that you are present and that you are here. So this was a very heavy conversation. So please definitely take a moment if you need to, take a break here and just breathe or do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. And feel free to come back to this guided meditation. If you don't have the time now either, definitely pause and come back to this meditation. So we'll begin by just taking a moment to just breathe. Taking a moment to find some comfort. Taking a moment to just inhale and exhale. As you're finding your breath, just begin to feel your seat under you, feeling the ground under your feet. Grounding yourself in this moment. Allowing your breath to anchor you. Notice any bodily sensations. Noticing any areas of discomfort. Allow your body to find some ease and relaxation. Feel free to find movement if you need to throughout this meditation. If your body is feeling like I need to move, or if your body feels like you just need to relax another area, just welcome it. Welcome your body's natural sensations and its natural desires to either find some movement or to find stillness. Continue breathing here, anchoring yourself with your breath. Bring your mind's eye to the back of your eyelids, noticing the darkness that's there. Noticing what you see in that darkness. Perhaps there's some light coming through. Maybe you see some sparkles of light. Just observe. Noticing that even in darkness, there is light. Even when it seems like there is no way, when it seems like it's too dark, there's light. Darkness can illuminate light. Darkness can make that light shine so bright. breathing into this. Inhaling and exhaling. Feeling that sensation of the breath flowing through you. You might notice that soft vibration under your nose of the air as it inhales and exhales. As you're inhaling and exhaling, you're breathing in life. You're breathing in life-sustaining energy. Allow that breath to just flow naturally, allowing it to just flow through your body. Reminding you that you are alive, that you are here. Allow the breath to just enliven each cell within your body, providing it energy, providing it love, providing it some light. Now take one of your hands and place it over your heart. Feel your heartbeat within your hands. Feel that beautiful beat of your heart. What do you notice? Do you notice that you are present, that you are here? Notice that you are feeling. You are feeling the aliveness of you. That you're feeling that beautiful beat of the heart. Reminding you that you are here and that you are feeling, that you are not numb, that you feel. Breathe into your heart space. Breathe into your heart. Reminding you that in darkness there is light, that through breath there is life, and that through your heart you feel, you feel. Breathe into the feeling of your heart, your aliveness, your beautiful blackness. Feeling the beat of all of your ancestors. Feeling all that resilience and that strength flowing from your heart, allowing you to be. Let's breathe here for another moment. Feeling free to stay here for as long as you need. I thank you for allowing me to hold space for you, allowing me to lead you in this meditation, reminding you that you are feeling, reminding you that you are present. You are not numb and will never be. Peace.
Subscribe to the podcast and download episodes. To continue to foster community and connection, email me at decodingblackness@gmail.com with questions, comments, or if you're interested in being a guest on the show. Don't forget to follow the Instagram page @decodingblackness. Peace.